Baseball star Manny Ramirez returned back to playing this weekend with the Los Angeles Dodgers after being suspended 50 games for using a performance-enhancing drug. The reaction by the fans in San Diego was mixed, but more positive than negative. That could have been because so many Dodger fans attended the game. But Ramirez's return is not being cheered on by many of the nation's sporting press, however. MSNBC's Keith Olbermann slammed Ramirez over the weekend on his blog on the Major League Baseball website. But longtime journalist Zev Chaffetz thinks that there's been too much hysteria by the media when it comes to baseball and steroids, and who qualifies for the Hall of Fame. Chaffetz has written a new book, Cooperstown Confidential, Heroes, Rogues, and the Inside Story of the Baseball Hall of Fame. We spoke with him last Thursday and asked him what prompted the former news columnist for the New York Daily News to write about the Hall of Fame.
Well, it certainly was one of the reasons that I got so interested in the Hall of Fame as an institution. You know, there are a lot of people who debate the merits of whether this player or that player should be in. What interested me more is how it is that questions like science and the use of steroids and so on, which are really ethical questions at some level, or racial questions or questions about the place of Hispanics in the culture and all the rest of that, wind up at Cooperstown for adjudication, as though Cooperstown is some kind of a national Supreme Court whose values matter to millions of Americans who follow baseball.
We're speaking with Zev Chaffetz. He's the author of the new book, Cooperstown Confidential. Zev, you write a lot about Ty Cobb, for example. We've heard some of these stories. In fact, some of them were depicted in that Ron Shelton movie from a few years ago. Can you tell our listeners what were some of the things that Ty Cobb did that make him hardly a moral exemplar there in the Hall of Fame?
Well, Cobb was the first guy to be voted into the Hall of Fame, and, you know, he was undoubtedly a fantastic baseball player. And I grew up in Detroit as a Tigers fan, so, of course, I knew about Ty Cobb. He was he was famously a terrible guy. He once bragged to one of his friends, who was a writer, that he murdered somebody in Detroit. And, you know, the fact is that he may or may not have, but it was an odd thing for somebody to be bragging about. And he several times went into the stands and beat people up, and he was accused very plausibly of trying to fix a game with Trispeaker back in the day. And he also, of course, was very famously a racist, but he was far from alone in that. Trispeaker, who was inducted early on, belonged to the Ku Klux Klan, and so did Rogers Hornsby. This wasn't really, Cobb wasn't really so unusual in that way.
You also write about, of course, one of the mythic figures of the game, Babe Ruth, that his behavior was so erratic that the mayor of New York at the time, James J. Walker, had a public intervention calling on Babe's alcoholism?
Yeah, it was his alcoholism and also the fact that there was a paternity suit against him that the New York press was trying to keep quiet. And there was also a scandal that had to do with the fact that he was caught using a corked bat. So, all of these guys were protected as much as the press could do it by writers whose own jobs depended on having good relations with the teams and the players. It's not like today. It creates an optical illusion that the players of today are less upstanding and virtuous than the guys who are in the Hall of Fame. But it's only that they're more, that they're more transparent. And I would say that probably if you wanted to take them as a group, the guys who are playing today are better citizens, if you could say that, or I don't want to say better people because that's a sort of a judgment I don't know how I would make, but they're certainly not morally or ethically inferior to the kind of players who played in, who made the Hall of Fame before.
Yeah, that's a great point. I wanted to ask about that because it seems to me perhaps that in some ways, and I'd like to get your thoughts about this, that it mirrors not just sports but also, say, politics. President Clinton, when he got in his troubles a decade or so ago, a lot of people said, one of his heroes was JFK, who was notorious in some ways for being a womanizer, and yet people didn't really read about that back in the 1960s, did they?
No, and one of JFK's heroes was Franklin Roosevelt, who was also, sort of openly carrying on an affair when he was president. The times were different. Reporters were different, and not just in sports, but, as you say, in politics. And maybe we all, yearn for the days when we could hear worship in peace. But unfortunately or fortunately, journalistic aggressiveness is now the order of the day, and the internet makes everything very quickly apparent. And so the notion that we can hide reality from people so that they will idol worship without knowing who their idols are is just a false notion. And people who cling to it encourage a view, let's say in the case of baseball, which is very cynical because, you know, fans now know that most of the baseball players in the last 20 years have used substances, at least a great many of them. And if, you know, they just don't know who. And so everybody becomes a suspect, and everybody becomes cynical about what they're watching, which is why, you know, I really think that the Hall of Fame, which is sort of the beating heart of baseball, you could say, sort of the institution that provides or should provide a kind of moral leadership or a kind of leadership, let's say, ought to embrace reality rather than pretending that it doesn't exist or that it's just a few cases.